Papa Roach and Help right there on C101. A little idea here a second ago because I probably don't know any more about this than you do and what you've seen in the media. So when all else fails here, I figure we ought to call a doctor. Let's call Dr. Keith Rose and find out what he thinks about the entire coronavirus thing here. We'll keep it short and sweet here. Let's find out. You're going, why didn't you pre-record this? Because that takes all the spontaneity out of it.
Hello?
Hello, doctor. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing, man?
Hey, I need to come in and get some of those pills you gave me back in spring break 1992.
Shooting flames again, I hear.
That's shooting flames again. Looks like a refinery in my pants. That was spring break, baby. Boy, I bet you handle a lot of that kind of stuff, don't you, man? These
not
kids.
Me. No, but
these kids come in town and just go absolutely crazy. Yeah.
She's from
Nebraska. I know she was clean.
Yeah. Hey, I mean, when am I going to get a chance to meet a girl from Haiti again, right?
Right? It's spring break. Hey, I like every other American, I'm trying to figure out the truth behind the entire coronavirus. I know you can compare it to the flu and say the flu's much worse, so on and so forth. But can you offer any kind of guidance? I mean, this is a spontaneous moment phone call. What, did you find out that I was going to call you when the phone rang the first time you hung up on me?
Yeah. Well, I didn't hang up on you. I hit it and it said call failed.
Right here at iHeartRadio, we put all the money into the phone system. So
you don't put it in your furniture, that's for sure.
Yeah, the furniture can kill you. Hey, tell me if we should be.
I think your furniture still has some of the Spanish flu attached to the bottom of it from the early 1900s.
Oh, I'm telling you, if you've shined a black light on some of this furniture,
it would look like Jackson Pollock.
It would go back to the Wintrow and Ward days. Hey, yeah. Can you tell me just a little bit about everyone's fear? Okay, there's so many different questions. Is any of this politically motivated?
Okay, wait, let me start off with yes. It is. But let me start off with what we know, okay? Because I think it's real important to speak the truth.
Hey, how's that cough? Are you okay? I heard you cough right
yeah,
there.
I'm just waking up, you know. You just kind of call me up.
Sorry about
first
that.
First thing we know, we have to talk about the truth, okay?
All right, tell me.
The truth is, basically, yes, we have a virus out there. I think there's a preponderance of the evidence is showing us that this is most likely a bioengineered virus, but really it doesn't matter because it is out. It is going to be, I think it is a pandemic, and I think time will bear that out. But what you need is perspective, and that's what we're not getting. And we have a lot of unscrupulous people that are trying to drive this as more of a weapon of mass distraction or drive panic, use the wrong information to get the right political outcome. And I think it's terrible, no matter who does it. This is a virus that is going... it's out there, but at the same time, it is nothing like the flu. What we know, and most of the evidence we have is I think that's really good in the scientific literature, and it's all over the medical literature right now.
Okay.
Comes from the Japanese cruise ship. So here are the facts. I mean, this is what we know 100%. 80% of the cases, so 8 out of the 10 cases are mild. You will never have symptoms. 80%. That's 8 out of 10.
Pretty huge.
Yeah. Now, in the course of the disease, 14% that we know of can get severe pneumonia. And in 5%, it can become critical. Maybe you could even die. But all of those patients so far that we're seeing are immunocompromised and very older patients. Something like we see influenza will kill close to 100,000 people a year.
But nobody pays attention to that. This is all
new.
No
one even pays attention. When H1N1 came out, you asked about politics. When H1N1 came out, it first came out in February. You had almost 1 million people infected and over 1,000 people had died when President Obama finally talked about it in October. So you had a large lag there. Everyone knew about it. Everyone was being treated for it. I was over in Africa, and when I went into Dubai to change planes, when I got off the plane, they were scanning everyone for fever.
Yeah.
So, I mean, but now, evidently, this is President Trump's fault. I mean, that's morally bankrupt, and it's intellectually dishonest. What we need to do is understand what it is, because the problems that it's going to cause from a panic, Rex, and this is so important, is what it will do for actual patients that need to see the doctor. Because when you drive a panic for political reasons, you get people going, I mean, they get a cough, they get a fever, they're going straight to the doctor. I want to be tested.
Yeah.
First of all, the treatment is supportive care. And you most likely, if you have those symptoms, you probably have the flu. You could have a bronchitis, because we know that's going around anyway. But what the problem is someone will say, well, my buddy has the flu. I got to go get tested. And everyone runs to the doctor. And you crash and overload the system so that people with heart attacks, actual illnesses, people from car accidents, things like that,
yeah,
it jams up the ERs and you're going to delay care. And then by a paradoxical effect, more people will suffer and there'll be higher mortality and other things. So we need to understand what the actual truth is. So we know the actual truth is that it's out there. We know it's spreading around. We know it's not symptomatic and will never be symptomatic in 8 out of 10 people. We also know that there's a test to detect the virus, and they're working on making that test more available. We know the situation in China is improving, which is a good sign because China had cases back last year. Yeah. And I just as an aside, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation had a symposium on this very virus back in October at Johns Hopkins. So it's not like the press and the mainstream media didn't know about this. Okay, the other thing is people recover. You will get well. The average person that gets this will get well. Now, if you're immunocompromised, you're in a nursing home, that's bad.
Yeah.
If you get this. So, but also, and I'm going to tell you real quick what the other good news, but the symptoms are mild in children, very mild. The mortality rate in people under 40 is less than 0.2%. Okay. The virus can be wiped clean, which means if you wash your hands and clean the surfaces, you're okay. It's not holding on, giving the finger to Lysol, and going to jump on you.
Okay.
So it's real important to know. And the antiviral trials are now underway. Everyone's working on this scientifically from a global perspective. The president and his staff have done, and this is stepping back and looking at it, a great job. But it's important for us, the American people, to understand that let's not create a boogeyman that's not there. We have to treat this like anything else. We have to be responsible. And I will tell you, I heard something the other day, and I've looked at the science on this, and it's true. It's not whether you're in a large group of people. It's whether you're in a large group of people that you don't know. I heard it from someone in the county called me the other day and said they're talking about closing the county offices. That would be the silliest thing I've ever heard. Because if you go to work, you're with a group of people you know. So it's not like you have some outside vector coming in there. And that's just hysteria, and it's not supported by science.
Well, how big could this be for something like South by Southwest? Is it? Do you think that there's a real fear of it spreading there?
I'll tell you what it could be bigger for. It could be bigger for these masses coming across the border. There are a lot of Chinese folks that are coming across the border that have been traveling for several months that could be infected. That's big. It's big in homeless camps because one person gets it, interacts with the wrong person, and you can't control the spread. And there was articles in scientific journals from years ago calling homeless camps in tent cities basically you know, epidemiological time bombs for viruses. Mm. Like, you get in there, you can't control and watch the spread. Now, South by Southwest, you know, I mean, yes, there's always that risk, but if you want to take it to its logical conclusion, someone from the county saying we need to shut down the county, you know, if they were serious people and not being political, they would say, well, let's close the port, because we have ships coming in from Asia all the time, crew members coming aboard, and we don't know where they've been and who they've been in contact with.
True.
So are they going to have the political guts to shut down the port and kill an economic generator? I don't recommend it. I don't think we need to. We need to make common sense screening. I mean, if someone comes in a ship, and we take care of the port, a lot of people in the port and from ships. And if they have symptoms or they need to come aboard for any type of care, we're just going to put a mask on them because we don't know where they've been. Same thing about closing the border. Serious people would say, we got to shut down the border till we get a handle on this. But you see, that's where the politics come into play. You don't have serious people making serious decisions. You have politicians marching lockstep to the talking points that they're being given. And the only people that are going to suffer are you and I. And it's going to hurt us economically.
Oh,
it's supply chains and things like that.
Grandma can't get her medication because the supply chain is already breaking down. You've got people, like you said, that can't get into hospitals and a lot of these places. And it's killing businesses, and not just small businesses. Really big businesses are suffering from the threat of something, not the actual something.
Right. I mean, if you look at the 1918 flu pandemic, it killed 25 million people in less than 25 weeks. This is not that. This is, you know, and this is my opinion based on studying the gene sequence. It looks like it's bioengineered. It looks like it's engineered to stay dormant longer, infect more people, but it's not causing a lot of problems. The problems it's causing has to do more with fear and hysteria and overreaction. And so I'm not saying we don't pay attention to this. I think we have to, and pay attention to it responsibly. But at the same time, we need to recognize what it is, put the appropriate processes in place, but by no means overcorrect and tell people, look, this is terrible. Send all the kids home from school. I mean, the kids that go to class are always in class together, and flu shoots through the school every year. I mean, you know, a lot of people are going to die this year from swimming pools. They're going to die from taking penicillin and aspirin. Yet we don't overcorrect on that because we understand the risks. And so what we need to do is understand that this could get worse, but there's no indications that it's going to be like it's going to be a pandemic, but the actual mortality in the pandemic, I don't believe, based on all the papers I've read and what I'm seeing out there right now, is going to be there. However, it will paradoxically cause more deaths if you overload the medical system and people that actually have other problems that can cause death can't get treatment.
Yeah, essentially,
and that would be a tragic.
The panic and the fear of it will kill you before the coronavirus ever will.
Well, yeah, I mean, I can guarantee you if you panic over this, and the other thing is, think about it, Rex, 8 out of 10 people, no symptoms. The mortality rate for people that are younger, 0.2%, which means it's not as bad as the influenza virus.
Yeah.
And do you hear us closing the county over the influenza virus? Are we closing school over the flu? No. If a teacher sees a kid that's sick, they send them home. They can't come back till they don't have a fever. And also the other thing is, if you think you have it and you have no symptoms, you shouldn't be tested. The tests are for people that have symptoms. Right now, test kits are limited. If you have no symptoms and you've been exposed to someone, then you just decide, if you show symptoms, get tested. But again, we don't have many test kits, and everyone's like, well, this person popped positive or this person popped positive. You know, it's something that if you have unscrupulous politicians who would push a lie, impeachment, to further a political agenda, I mean, would they push anything else? That's the sad thing about this. Is we have a press that has politicized everything and cried wolf so many times that we can't trust them. And that's unfortunate, because the only big losers in this are us.
Well, they didn't shut down businesses and schools with all of these mass shootings that took place. But then you have 23 people who have died from the coronavirus and 16,000 from the flu and instead you're just killing your own business. I mean, the economy is just sinking.
23 people in a country of 330 million.
Yeah.
And almost every one of those was in immunocompromised. I mean, if you want to do something smart, if you've had recent travel, don't go visit any loved ones in a home, or don't be around people that don't have the ability to fight infection. That's smart. But to say everyone stops their lives would all that's going to do is it's going to create panic. It's going to create economic hardship. Hey, and unfortunately, there's a political party that likes that because it creates chaos and confusion, and then you can kind of drive people by consensus.
Okay, I've got about 60 seconds right now with you, Dr. Rose. What do you do here locally? Because we've been talking sort of on the broad spectrum of the entire thing, but here locally, there hasn't really been anything that's a problem, right?
Here locally, there's two things we need to pay attention. One, when Customs and Borders brings illegals they catch in for treatment, we need to make sure that they're wearing masks because we don't know where they've been. We need to have defined intake areas for those people and not just let them randomly go anywhere. That's number one from a local healthcare standpoint. Number two, anything that comes in from the port, people that come in from ships that we can't really track their exposure or travel history, if they need to come ashore, great, but they need to be screened, and I would just have them wear a mask or confine them to the ships. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay? That kind of stuff makes sense, but confining regular everyday citizens makes no sense and will only cause panic. And, you know, we know this started in China. A lot of these ships come from other places, and they may have met ladies of the night from China in other ports. I've heard that can happen.
Yeah.
And, you know, so you just got to pay attention and use your mind and use your brain and don't use your feelings to panic everyone. Doing something for the sake of doing something is not effective. And we need to be effective and we need leaders to step up, not panic moderators.
Dr. Keith Rose, thank you so much for the time and kind of basically maybe calming some of the localized fear that I see people charging into various stores and grabbing toilet paper. Is toilet paper a natural defense from the coronavirus? People going crazy. What is the toilet paper thing? Does it give you the squirts? Do you get the squirts from it? What happens?
I mean, I think they're self-identifying as not understanding what's going on. How's that nice to put at it?
Yeah.
I think in where we live, you would start with a pin and end with something like banjo, you know. That's just my thoughts.
I'll holler back at you very soon to keep us updated right here. Thanks for talking to us a little bit this morning on C101. Dr. Keith Rose, ladies and gentlemen, if you need some facts, enjoy yourself, man. I'll see you soon.
Hey, wait, man, they can go to my podcast, Scalpel.
Yeah,
ScalpelEdge.com.
And then
we talk about it a lot.
Okay, cool. Scalpel. So they
it's on iHeart and Apple.
You can catch his podcast on the iHeart Radio podcast. It's just called Scalpel altogether?
The Scalpel.
Very cool. Hey, we'll talk to you soon. Thank you so much for your time.
All right, brother.
All right, buddy. Thanks.